All right, maybe seated. All right, let me take your Bibles and turn to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. That was a great truth of that song. You know, someone cared about you, and that's why you're saved. That's why you're here today. I wonder if somebody real quick, just tell me, raise your hand real quick. Tell me who was it that cared about you, and that's why you got saved right here? Your pastor. Yes, ma'am. Your mom. Who else? Somebody just raise your hand. Tell me who was it that cared? Youth pastor Steve Frost, amen, now pastoring. And, you know, on and on we could go. And you think about that. You think about how the reason you're saved is because somebody cared about you. And the reason other people get saved is because you care about them. And that's the only way they'll get saved. That's the only way that lives be changed is that we care about someone else. Well, it's good to have you back here. Hope you had a wonderful time with the holiday. Sorry about the snow. Sorry about the cold weather. If Brother Douglas didn't complain so much about it, we probably wouldn't be in this predicament that we're in. But it is January, and it is Northwest Indiana, and so it's kind of expected. But we're glad you're back. Hope you had a wonderful time. One of the things I probably enjoy the most about vacation, and the thing that I hate the most about going back to work, is wearing a tie. I don't know what it is about that, but of course you girls don't have to worry about that. But I would rather wear a tie than wear a skirt, so I guess the ties would be okay. Esther chapter 4, I want to read several verses here. This is a great story in the Bible. And I want to start reading in verse number 1. You can follow along as I read. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Father, we pray this morning that you would please meet with us. I pray that you would use your word to help us, instruct us, inspire us. I pray that this would be a profitable time. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the story of Esther. Esther is an interesting book to me, and I love how God in so many ways had to work so hard behind the scenes to bring everything into place. From the Queen Vashti refusing to parade in front of the king and his men, to Esther becoming the queen, to Mordecai foiling a plan to destroy the king, a plot to destroy the king, and Mordecai foiled that plan, to Haman coming up with this plan to destroy the Jews. And then we find Esther becoming the queen and in a place where she could save the Jews. But of course, it was not lawful for her to approach the king without being requested to do so. And her life was at stake. But she made a decision: if I perish, I perish. And she goes before the king, and the king granted her request. Haman, of course, had much hatred for Mordecai and had even built gallows to have him hung, thinking that his plan would come through. And then we find out later in the story that those gallows were actually made for Haman, and he was hung there on the very gallows that he made. And what's interesting to me is how hard God had to work behind the scenes to bring everything together. In his timing and his perfect will to cause everybody to do their part, and for Esther to be in that place where she was in a position to save the Jews. You know, all of us here this morning have a story. And I love to hear the stories of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, because they're so different. And everybody has a different story that they could share and tell about what God had to do behind the scenes. And by the way, not just in your life, but in other people's lives. What God had to do with your parents, and how he worked in your parents' life, and the work that God did through your pastor or youth pastor or maybe a bus captain or bus worker or a youth pastor's wife or what have you, and how God in his infinite wisdom and in his mercy to bring everything together to bring you to that place where you were willing and ready to get saved. God had to work very hard. And you know, that testimony that you have about your salvation ought to be something that you rehearse to yourself on a regular basis, but also something that you rehearse and you share to other people. And the day that you got saved ought to be very special to you. It ought to be something that you, on a regular basis, thank God. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for the events that you had to work out in my life to get me to that place where I would trust Christ as my Savior. I remember as a child, I was about 9, 10 years old. I can't remember exactly, but I remember we were standing in the living room of our house, and it was a Sunday morning. We were getting ready to go to church, and I remember making a comment about heaven. Not even sure exactly what the comment was or why I made the comment, but I said something like to one of my sisters, I said, you know, it's going to be neat when we go to heaven, something like that. And she said, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? And I didn't know the answer to that. And I remember her telling me that when we go to church this morning, you need to listen, and you need to follow the pastor's instruction. And so we went to church that morning, and the invitation came, and the pastor preached. He gave the invitation, and he asked if anyone was there and didn't know for sure. If they died, they'd go to heaven. And I remember my sisters looking at me and elbowing me and saying, now's the time, you know, raise your hand. And so I was just a little kid, and I raised my hand. And I remember the pastor I think I was the only one that morning. We were probably a crowd of 150 people, 200 maybe, and the pastor just asked if I would meet him in the back. And I remember going into his office, and I remember him taking the Bible and showing me some verses, and I remember we prayed, and I remember walking out. My parents had waited for me, my family had waited, and they were excited, they were happy for me that I got saved. And that was a special day in my life. And God had to work very hard behind the scenes to make all of that happen. And with my family and with our church and with our pastor and all those things that had to come to place so that I would be there at that time to trust Christ as my Savior. But then I remember coming to college, and I remember it was a watch night service, and every year we would have a special service. It was the first, I think it was the last Sunday in November, and it was a special time. They would put kerosene lamps throughout the auditorium, and Brother Howells would always preach a salvation message, and I remember him preaching about Judas, and it was powerful. And I remember him asking the question about knowing for sure that you're saved. And I kept going back in my mind to that day. And I remember the day clearly, but what bothered me is I couldn't remember exactly what happened when I sat in that office. And I couldn't remember exactly what he shared with me. And part of me was certain I was saved, and part of me was confused. And so I remember wanting to settle it. And as a 17-year-old freshman at college, I walked the aisle, and I settled it. And a deacon showed me how to go to heaven, and I settled that, and I know that I'm saved, and I'm glad that I'm saved, and I thank God for what he did in my life to bring all of these events into my life so that I would be saved and I'd know Christ as my Savior. I think about my call to preach and everything that God had to do to again bring me to that place where I would hear a message, where God would speak to me and I would respond, and I would be called to preach. Boy, don't take those events lightly in your life. God worked very hard to get you to that place where you would hear the message and God would speak to you, and you would respond and be saved, or you would respond and surrender to his will and be called to preach or serve God with your life. I remember coming here as a high school teenager and not really having a clear direction on where I would go to college, and had visited a couple of other Bible colleges and was somewhat had an idea of that, but really wasn't sure. But then coming here and God just kind of sealing it for me. And God just kind of just making it sure that this is where he wanted me to be. And I'm so glad that I surrendered. I'm so glad that I came and made this the place where I would learn and be trained and graduate and then have the privilege to serve and work here. You know, God had to work very hard to orchestrate the right situation in our life and other lives, to bring us to that place of decision. Thank God he's working in our life. Thank God he's always working in our life. You know, I look at moments like this, and I don't think that this moment of being in chapel on this day is just a fluke. I don't think God is in heaven and just kind of looking and assessing what's going on here, like just another chapel, just another day, and they'll go on. And no, God has a purpose for this. There's a reason why we're here. And I think about Esther and the little phrase in there where it says, for such a time as this. That this moment, that these minutes right here have a purpose. And God works very hard to bring everything into place in our lives for a reason. For such a time as this. Time is life. And the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we need to make the most of our time, because once you spend time, you never get it back. And young people, if I could encourage you and challenge you this morning, don't make the mistake in your youth thinking that I've got my whole life to get it right. I've got my whole life to get right with God. I've got my whole life to live for God. No, you don't. You've got today. And this time that you have needs to be well spent. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. As we begin this new calendar year of 2018, you ought to make a promise to the Lord and be challenged to make good use of your time. Don't waste time. Make the best use of your time. Let me give you several things that you could do to make the best of your time. Number one, seek wisdom from God. Seek wisdom from God. I wish I had time to go through all the scripture and read all the verses, but we don't. But Psalms 90, verse 12, and a great verse about wisdom and how we need wisdom. And let me tell you something, young people. Life is too short to go through life without wisdom. It's too short. You need to be begging and pleading God every day, give me wisdom. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've got this mentality that says, I don't need God's wisdom, I've got it, I can handle this, you're in for a fatality. You're making a huge mistake. Because all of us this morning need God's wisdom. Wisdom about our schedule, wisdom about our finances, wisdom about our relationships, wisdom about our future, wisdom about our life and what we ought to be doing with our life. And every single day, and even many times throughout the day, we ought to be asking, God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom, because I don't want to waste the time and the life that you've given me and go through life without wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Next, I would say to help us make the most of our time is live with eternity in mind. Live with eternity in mind. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 18, and if you haven't found it yet, that's fine, I'll read it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And you know, one way to make the best use of our time is to live with eternity in mind. Is not just to live for the here and now. Not just live for today, but realize that what I do today matters for eternity. And we're going to spend more time in heaven living forever than we will living here on earth. You know, we get so caught up with the temporal things of life and the things that really don't matter. And they seem to consume our minds and they consume our emotions and they consume our life. And sometimes you just kind of have to step back a little bit and think, you know, how does this affect eternity? How does this affect how my life is going to be in heaven forever? And have a right perspective, but living with eternity in mind. Next, remember that tomorrow is never a guarantee. Tomorrow is never a guarantee. In every single moment of every single day, make the best of it. And realize that there's no guarantee that we'll have tomorrow. Next, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. You know, procrastination is probably one of the greatest weaknesses of young people, is putting it off till next week or next month or next time, and not realizing that, if you got time to do it now, then do it now. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Some of you are procrastinating on paying your school bill, and you need to get down to the business office and pay your school bill and be on time and be in school and be in your classes and not be a procrastinator, always putting off till later. You know, if you don't do it now, when will you do it? And the truth is, if you don't do it now, you probably never will, and you'll always live your life catching up from things that you should have done yesterday or the day before or last week because you missed the concept of doing things today, not putting off for tomorrow what you can do now. Next, allow the Lord to guide you by the Holy Spirit. You know, every day you ought to wake up and you ought to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit lives inside you. Holy Spirit has a plan for your life. Holy Spirit has things that he wants you to do, people he wants you to meet, things he wants you to say. And every morning you ought to wake up and even throughout the day say, Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me. Control my thoughts, control my time, control the minutes and hours of my day. Help me to make full use of what you have for me this day. Next, make time for God every day. Every day, make time for God. And I know as a college student, that can be a challenge. I know with your schedule, you're busy and you got a lot going on. But let me challenge you, young people, make time for God every single day. Every day, make time for God. Figure it out. Figure it out. Figure out a place and a time where you can go and read your Bible and spend some time with the Lord. Next, learn to prioritize and organize and set goals. Learn to figure out how to put things in order and by importance when it comes to your schoolwork and your responsibilities, and organize those things and set goals for your life and get things done and make the most of your time. Next, trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Lord knows you're here. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. But young people, listen, if you're going to be productive in the sight of God, you'll realize and understand that for such a time, God has given you time. God has given you life. There's things that God wants you to accomplish. There's things he wants you to do, and we must trust in him. And then lastly, have a good work ethic. Have a good work ethic. Whatever you do, be a hard worker. Be a hard worker. Don't be lazy. Don't be a lazy college student on that off-campus job. Set a good reputation for those who will follow you and those who will apply for those places when you leave someday. But work hard and have a good work ethic when it comes to your classes and your job and your bus route and your ministry. Be a hard worker. Have a good work ethic because it's time. This is your time. This is your life. And that's how we make the best use of our time. But you know, not only make good use of your time, but know that God has a purpose for your life. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God had brought you here to this college on this day, January 5, 2018, for such a time as this. For this day, for this season of your life. There's a purpose for you being here. There's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why you are a student at Hiles Anderson College. God has an eternal purpose for your life. And what is that? Why has God brought you here? For many reasons, but one, to prepare you. To prepare you. Prepare you to be the Christian that God has saved you to be. To prepare you to be a soul winner. To prepare you men to be a husband one day. To prepare you ladies to be a wife one day. To prepare you men to be a father one day, and you ladies to be a mother one day. To prepare you to be a pastor one day, or an assistant pastor, be a missionary one day. You're here. God has a purpose, and that purpose is to prepare you. To prepare you for success and failure. To prepare you for trials and temptations. To prepare you for blessings and burdens. And let me say, don't underestimate the preparation. Don't underestimate the preparation. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations that it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You know, I would read that verse, and sometimes as a young person, I wouldn't understand that. Why does God say to bear the yoke in our youth? A yoke is something that is heavy. It's a burden. And yet God tells us in his word that we ought to bear that yoke in our youth. Let me say, young people, that life gets more complicated, not less. And the reason God tells us to bear the yoke in our youth is because it prepares us for what's next, so that what's next is not too heavy. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, our society, the system of our society is you go to school as a young person, and in your grade school years, you learn some very basic, simple things. You learn your alphabet. You learn how to add, subtract. You learn your multiplications. You learn the tables and all the different things in grade school. And the reason you learn those things is because it prepares you for some harder subjects that are going to come in your high school years and in years to come. And you know what happens is if I'm in grade school and I'm messing around and I'm not learning my vocabulary and I'm not learning my spelling, but I progress to the next grade and progress to the next level, you know, school gets harder for me. You know, if I'm not learning, if I don't know how to spell, and I don't know how to define words, and I don't know fractions, and I don't know how to do long division and all these things I'm supposed to learn in grade school and in my junior high years, when I go to high school and now it's algebra and geometry and trigonometry and calculus and these hardest subjects, man, I get buried. And you know, life is designed so that at every stage of your life, you will learn what you need to for the next stage. Let me have Brother Alan come up here. Give me a songbook there. So Alan is in grade school. Give me another one. Alan's in grade school and turn around here. He's learning how to add, and then give me a couple more. He's learning how to spell, and he's learning a little bit of history, and he's learning a little bit of science, and I tell you what happens. Look, if he gets this, you know, if I know how to add, you know, I can put that burden down and move on to the next one. If I know how to spell, you know, I'm a pretty good speller. Well, you know, you can put that down and you can move on. But I tell you what happens is if you struggle here. And so here's all the subjects you're learning, and well, give me a few more. Give me a few more of those these psalm books here, but you know what, buddy, you're 15 years old. You can't be in grade school no more. You got to come over here to high school, you know. And then we got some harder subjects for you to learn, and so we'll give you a few more things here, you know, young people, life gets more complicated and heavier as you grow older, not easier. So now you're in 11th grade, and subjects are getting a little harder. Give me a few more psalm books there. Whoops, I can't even hold that one. Now, you know, you got a lot going on here. Why? Because life gets heavier. Now you're going to college. All right, so let's come down here to college. Now you got English 101, and you got church ed. I need some more for church ed. Church ed's a tough class. You know, and then, hey, give me a couple more. We got your bus route. You know, that's a heavy burden there. And give me a couple more. I need some more psalm books. Give me psalm books. Here we go. And you got your, you got to get a job. You know, it's going to be tough. Give me a couple more. You got to pay your school bill. And then, you know what, Alan, you might even find a girl while you're in college. And you know that? That's gonna be a little bit heavier there. It's the girl. If we stopped before the girl, he would have been fine. It's the girl every time. Girl messed him up right there. But you know, that's where some of you are today. You're having a hard time handling life. And let me just stop right here and say this, you know. Whatever mistakes you've made in the past, don't worry about it. It's all in the past, okay? But now that you're here in college and you're trying to handle everything that you're trying to handle, let me just say, you have got to learn to handle those things, because after college, things get more complicated. Because then you got a wife, then you got children, then you got a mortgage payment, you got to buy a house. Then you got to pay for insurance. Then you got ministry to think about. Look, things get more complicated as you get older in life, not easier. And some of you this morning, you're struggling trying to figure out, how do I handle this? How do I get through Bible college? And, you know, I love what Brother Bailey said during the announcements. You know, some of you need to slow it down a little bit. and handle what you have before you go to the next level. You need to maybe take a few less credits and pay your school bill and keep your job and keep your bus route, because some of you, things are just kind of unraveling, and the next thing what's going to happen is you're going to quit and go home, and you're going to miss the will of God for your life because you don't know how to handle everything you're trying to handle. You know, I didn't have all the training that some of my roommates and some of my classmates had coming to Bible college. And I'll be honest with you, I struggled for a while. I mean, it was a lot just trying to figure out how to balance a checkbook and trying to pay my school bill and trying to be a good bus worker and trying to be a soul winner and trying to walk with God and trying to do all these things. It was like every day I'd go to chapel and it was like they were just piling on another book. It was like I'd go to chapel and they'd adding something else to my life that's missing. And adding something else that I needed to do. And I came to the point in my life where I said, you know what, I got my whole life to serve the Lord. I think I'm going to handle what I can before I go on. You know, I'm glad that when I was sitting where you sat, I made a decision that I'm going to learn, I'm going to figure this out. Because if I don't figure it out now, then how am I going to be useful to God one day? Because life gets more complicated, the burdens get heavier. But if I can learn to handle what I have right here, and every day go to the Lord and say, God, help me with this. Some of you don't need to get real serious in your dating because you're already struggling with other areas of your life. Some of you don't need to complicate your life any more than it's already been complicated. Some of you need to slow it down a little bit and say, Lord, help me learn this because I want to be better prepared for the next stage in my life. Let me move on quickly. Not only are you here for such a time as this, a purpose to prepare you, but also to use your life and influence to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, the story of Esther's life was all about saving people. And God wants to use your life to save people. You know, in every generation of students, there have been those who have left their imprint in somebody's life. Not only did they go to school, work a job, date, prepare, but while they were doing that, they made a difference in somebody's life. You know, when I was in college, I really was challenged by that idea that, hey, while I'm here, you know, I had no intention of staying here. It wasn't my plan to live in Hammond forever and to make this my life and ministry. It was God's plan. I thought I was going to graduate. I thought I was going to leave and serve somewhere else. But I figured, you know, while I'm here, I want to make a difference in somebody's life. For such a time as this, there's a purpose. God, I'm not just here to go to college. I'm not just here to get notes in my notebook, but there's somebody that needs to be saved that you want me to witness to. There's somebody who needs your life change. There's somebody who needs to be loved and cared about. There's somebody who needs to be brought to church. And for such a time as this, there's a purpose for me to be here so that I can have an impact and make a difference in somebody's life. Men like, I think of Brother Kevin Cowling, who as a bus captain won an adult man to the Lord, who came to church and got saved, and because he did, his family came. And it's amazing to think that even today, there's families in our church as a result of that one man who got saved on a Saturday. I think of a man of Mike Valdez, who as a bus captain here reached a family, a Garcia family. And you can't even imagine. It's so hard to picture this, but the number of families that have been reached and the souls have been saved and the number of people that go to our Spanish department from that one family is unbelievable. Because there was a college student who said, you know, I'm not here just to get a diploma, but I'm here to make a difference in somebody's life. There's a purpose. There's an eternal purpose for me being a student here, and that's to work in a ministry and to be involved in having an impact in somebody's life. It was this summer when lady came to our school and she said, you know, she said, I used to attend City Baptist. And she said, I had a bus captain. His name was Mark Holmes. Brother Mark is a missionary and serving the Lord now. And she said, you know, Brother Mark loved me and loved our family. She said, I made some mistakes. She said, I have some regrets. But she sat there with her teenage children, her boy and girl, and she said, I don't want to make my children make those same mistakes. And she enrolled her students in City Baptist. All because of a student who sat here in college who said, you know, I'm not here just to get a diploma, but I'm here for such a time as this. There's a purpose. There's somebody's life that's counting on me. There's somebody, heaven and hell is in the balance for somebody that lives in Chicago, that lives on your bus route. And for such a time as this, God has brought me here. I'm going to make the best use of this time and this opportunity. You know, I have so much more to say. I'm going to stop there because of time. But let me ask you a question. How badly do you want to be used of God? How badly do you want God to use you to have an impact on somebody's life? Let me challenge you this morning as we begin this calendar year, 2018. Surrender your life to the Lord and say, God, please use my life to have an impact, to make a difference in somebody's life. There's a purpose. There's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why I'm here now and today and this year. And like others who have gone before you, pick up the mantle, pick up the baton, and continue to do what others have done before you for such a time as this. Father, I pray that you